So, Om Ganatsu Vindasha Gananjana Shrakaya Chakshuran Meditam Yenasasai Shigareva. So, I'd like to thank everybody for coming and speak a little about what Vyasa Puja is and also about some of my experiences with Srila Prabhupada. Actually, the first time I met Srila Prabhupada was in 1971, and as I mentioned to many of the devotees before, it was Srila Prabhupada's presence that really got me to join the Krishna Conscious Movement, because I could feel the unlimited compassion coming from Prabhupada, not a judgmental type of religion. Generally, we're accustomed in the Western world, especially now with the rise of terrorism and everything like that, that you have an extreme judgmental religion. Extreme judgmental religion means that basically, unless you're a member of our particular group, we cut your head off. That's extreme judgmental. And not so extreme is you tell people they're going to hell unless they're a member of your group. So, basically, the first time I came in contact with the temple, which was 1969, I had not so extreme extremism, you know. That's fundamentalism. And they told me I was going to hell. So, of course, they didn't cut my head off. They weren't super extreme fundamentalism. So that sort of dissuaded me from taking part in the movement. I was already practicing Krishna consciousness to some degree. And then in 1971, I met Prabhupada. And as I mentioned before, Prabhupada's unlimited compassion had convinced me not only to join the Krishna Conscious Movement, but to take Srila Prabhupada as a role model. And everybody needs role models. Role model means someone you want to become like when you grow up or later on in life, or someone you want to please. And that's the secret, actually, for raising children in Krishna consciousness. The secret is they should have some role model. That is, someone, wow, I want to be like him when I grow up. And fortunately, I had Prabhupada. Anyway, so Prabhupada, 1971, and then the second time I met Prabhupada was in 72 at Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, which is interesting. That was the first Vyasa Puja I've ever seen. And it was in New Vrindavan during a program that Prabhupada entitled the Bhagavad Dharma Discourses, where Prabhupada was preaching on top of a hill. There was like a canopy or a big marquee at the top of the hill, and Prabhupada was preaching about Bhagavatam every day, and it culminated in Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja ceremony, in which we all got a chance to worship Srila Prabhupada and dance before Srila Prabhupada. There was probably about 500 people there at the Vyasa Puja ceremony. And then the interesting thing that occurred after the ceremony was over, Prabhupada distributed the cake, his Vyasa Puja cake, and we were all fighting for pieces of the cake. In fact, it was a pileup. It was worse than any rugby game or anything you've ever seen. And, you know, we were just punching each other. Let me have a piece of the cake. I got a piece of the cake, and then I had about 10 people on top of me after that, trying to get it from my hand. So, and then I had many other interactions with Prabhupada. Generally, whenever I was with Prabhupada, I tried to get the dust of his feet, the sodom remnants and the foot bathing water, and several times I was quite successful in doing so, just like when I would walk on the beach with Srila Prabhupada, I would take the sand from his lotus footprints and throw the sand in my mouth. So in this way, somehow or other, I tried to get Prabhupada's mercy. But Prabhupada himself said something very interesting about worship of the spiritual master. Of course, it is beneficial to take the dust for the feet, the foot bathing water, sodom remnants, and all that other nice stuff. But Prabhupada himself said, the worship of the spiritual master is not simply a festival of fruits and flowers, but he who follows the order of the spiritual master. That's the actual disciple. And Srila Prabhupada showed himself to be the best disciple of Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, not because he was around him that much physically, externally around him, but because he took the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Prabhupada maybe had a handful, you know, 5 to 10 encounters, you know, physical, external encounters with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, But Prabhupada took every word that he said as his life and soul. I mean, even during those encounters, Srila Prabhupada sat and listened intensely, so much so that Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur commented that this particular boy, Abhay, he likes to hear. Even when all the other devotees at one particular juncture, they were on Vajmanda Parikrama, and they were going to see the Shiradakshaya Vishnu, which is a very interesting deity. I've been there. And it's Vishnu with, actually it's like Garbhadaksha Vishnu. But anyway, but it has Lord Brahma coming out of his navel, and all the demigods praying to him. It's a very interesting deity in Braj. He's down to Vajmanda Parikrama. But Prabhupada, instead of going to see the deity, he was thinking, what will I do if I go to see the deity? What will I see with my eyes? So generally, we're very much visually oriented in our culture. So Prabhupada said, let me stay in here from this great saintly person. And actually, that's the purpose of going to a holy place. It says if one goes to a holy place simply to take a bath, then he's no better than a cow or an ass. Not that, to say that he is an ass, or a cow. But the cows and the asses, they go bathing in the Ganges and the Yamuna River. And, you know, they get the same benefit as we would, except they don't go and sit and hear. Actually, there was one exception to that. One deer, who happened to be Bart Maharaj in his previous life, did sit and hear from the sages. But in general, you don't find the deer sitting still and listening. You don't find the dogs or the cows or the asses sitting still. So the point is, Prabhupada really showed his attention to hearing. And of course, Prabhupada said he was able to preach nicely because he heard nicely, and we hear from the Bhagavatam, the hearing is the beginning of understanding. And so Srila Prabhupada took every single syllable that his spiritual master spoke as like his life's direction. So much so that he undertook the austerity of leaving India at a very ripe old age, 70 years of age. You know, I am 65 this year, and the thought of going somewhere where I don't know anybody, without any money, without any credit cards, without any iPhones or galaxies or computers or internet connection, doesn't really appeal to me. Just like in a few days I'm going to India. Can someone turn up the music? Musical interlude?
Put it on silent.
Put on silence. So just like in a few days I'm going to India, and then I'm communicating with the devotees from the temple that I'm going to be taking off from, saying, prepare this, prepare that, make me some sauerkraut that I can take with me to India, make sure I have dried vegetables, dehydrated vegetables that I can hydrate once I get there. Make sure, I mean, all sorts of things like that. Or even this morning I was thinking, why didn't we bring our sapote with us? You know, sapote? Chocolate pudding fruit. You know, why did I make this horrible mistake for? It's my party and I didn't bring my sapote. I don't know if any of you had chocolate pudding fruit, have you? It's really nice.
Yeah.
So Prabhupada, I mean, he didn't think about anything. He just got on the boat, had some heart attacks on the way over. You know, two heart attacks, had a dream in which he saw all the various incarnations of the Lord rowing the boat, assuring him of safety. Got to New York, didn't know which way to turn. Went to Traveler's Aid, you know, then went to Butler, Pennsylvania. Had to live with people who were eating meat, basically. Sally Agarwal and Gopal Agarwal. And basically preached. And then he went to New York after that because he thought Butler, Pennsylvania, which was the first place, not such a good place for preaching, not too many devotee prospects there. So Prabhupada went to something that we call the Big Apple. Anyone's heard of that expression before?
Yeah.
That's New York. New York, you know, all the Prabhupada's godbrothers, they were thinking if they went to the West, they would go to London. But London, you know, anyway, London is suffering all the karmic reactions from exploiting India. the sun never rises on the British Empire anymore. It used to never set, now it never rises. If anyone's been to London, you know what I'm talking about. So Prabhupada, you know, very ingeniously understood, because Prabhupada was in tune with the world situation. he understood, you know, that America, and especially New York, was the place from which you could spread out and make the whole world Krishna conscious. I mean, Prabhupada had this all, he was very strategic. Like Prabhupada said, he asked Giriraj Maharaj in the story, will this movement go on when I leave? And Giriraj Maharaj said, no, for Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada actually said, no, Krishna conscious and good management and intelligence. So Prabhupada showed that a Vaishnava is not simply one who just sits down and chants Hare Krishna and just ignores what's happening in the world. But Prabhupada was very much aware of the world. That's why he decided on America. Otherwise, you know, he would have gone to Croatia or... Prabhupada did try to go to Japan at one particular point. There was some seminar and Prabhupada didn't get permission for that. But, so Prabhupada, so intelligent, planned things out. As they say, he who fails to plan, plans to fail. You ever heard that before? He who fails to plan, plans to fail. In other words, so Prabhupada wasn't just like spontaneously saying, oh, let me go in the first boat that comes, you know, go there in Germany or wherever. So, anyway, so Prabhupada endured this great austerity and lived so simply, and he was counting his pennies literally. If you see Prabhupada's notebook from the beginning days of the movement, there's every time Prabhupada spent 5 cents on a banana, in those days bananas were cheaper. Prabhupada would note it down and he'd keep a running balance. And Prabhupada actually was so cheap in the beginning days trying to protect Krishna's money that even when his disciple, if he had some disciples, asked for some money for something, he would say, how can you ask money from your spiritual master? It's a great offense. And he was a treasurer too. You know, he was a treasurer in the temple. Actually, one devotee in New York was so crazy. One devotee said, I want some money for petrol to burn myself. You know, and Prabhupada gave him little, and the devotee said, you know, why did you give him any money? And Prabhupada said, I knew he wasn't serious because he was asking for like $50, and that's more than enough petrol. He had burned several people. So Prabhupada endured and living with hippies, you know, and people were eating meat, and so many things Prabhupada endured to carry out the order of the spiritual master. The whole point is he was focused. He was Ekeha Kudunandana. That's the quality of a disciple. Be focused, one-pointed on the order of the spiritual master. So that's Prabhupada's story. So then getting to the story of all of us, applying it to us, we should be focused in the same way on the order of Srila Prabhupada. So what is Srila Prabhupada's order for us? Because Prabhupada's not saying to us, you know, go to the Western world and preach because we're already here. He's preaching English. But Prabhupada is saying that we should become servants of his Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada said your love is tested by cooperation, how you cooperate with each other in assisting this movement. And it's actually a test to see if people remain in the movement, serving to the Prabhupada society, remaining loyal, because there's so much allurement outside. You know, people even come from other Gaudiya organizations and say, join us, we'll teach you everything you wanted to know, but you're afraid to ask Prabhupada. And the reason you're afraid to ask Prabhupada is because Prabhupada would have chastised you if you asked those things. Like Prabhupada was asked one time, do you ever feel separation from your spiritual master? You know, the internal question Prabhupada was asked. And Prabhupada answered, that question you don't need to ask. So Prabhupada really was careful about presenting things that the devotees were not ready to hear about in Krishna consciousness. Whereas you have other organizations, they're not so careful, and you know, it's a big allurement. Join us and become a gopi in 30 days or less. Pretty good, you know. And of course, that's very alluring. Become a gopi, become a coward boy, you can choose whatever you'd like to do. And you've been chanting Hare Krishna for so many years, you still haven't realized your spiritual identity. Well, the reason you haven't realized your spiritual identity is that you haven't dedicated yourself to the mission of Srila Prabhupada. You really want to, this is a secret in spiritual life. If you really want to realize your spiritual identity, then listen to what Krishna says in the Gita. In the Gita, Krishna says, no one is more dear to me, nor will there ever be one more dear to me, than he who preaches this message of Krishna consciousness to the devotees. So if one spreads or Krishna consciousness for the Krishna conscious movement for the service of Srila Prabhupada, you can very quickly advance in devotional service. So everyone is meant to be a preacher in the Krishna consciousness movement. Everyone is even meant to be a guru. Here I am sitting. And somehow or other, you know, people are somehow or other appreciating. At least they have to. Even though they don't want to. But somehow or other, people have, you know, you have to, so you can't just say, you fool and asshole, you know, anything like that. So somehow or other, people are glorifying, but this position is actually meant for all of you. It's a challenge that I'm issuing for all of you to come up to that mark. Because Prabhupada wanted everyone to be empowered to do that. Not simply that there's one person and everybody just becomes a chamcha, which means spoon, or a yes person. That, you know, we should each become leaders in the Krishna conscious movement. Of course, one has to be very, very careful, because as you advance in devotional service and preach Krishna consciousness, you do get people appreciating you. And if you're not careful, people will begin to think they're appreciating me. And it goes to your head, then you get an anartha, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that's one of the sources of anarthas, the byproducts of bhakti, and then you fall down. As soon as you think, I'm a guru, you become a guru. A guru, like a cow or an ass, like Gokula. You just become, you're foolish, as soon as you think it's your identity. So you have to understand that your identity is servant. Yivera Rupohoi, Nitya Krishna Das, Yivera Rupohoi, Nitya Krishna Das, Bobhi Bharata Pankamwit, Dasa 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 Dasa. That's your identity. And now I'm sitting here doing this service, you're sitting there doing another service, and we're all just serving. And we serve each other. This service is meant to serve not only Krishna, my guru, but to serve the rest of you. And that's how I'm thinking right now. That I'm serving the rest of you by performing this sacrifice. So when they say, what's the sacrifice? Sitting down, hearing nice things about yourself. Well, it doesn't really give you too many jollies after a while. You know, material jollies. It just, you know, I could sit and read my Vyas Pooja. I got a copy of it this morning in an email and I was reading it. I was just looking at the pictures, actually. Pictures are more interesting. I mean, I read it, but, you know, but I understand whatever quality people may see is because of the mercy of my spiritual master, and then it's my service to accept those things. And that makes me happy to be able to serve. It makes me happy to be able to hear how I've helped people advance in devotional service. And this is the proper way to take praise or glorification. Otherwise, it'll be dangerous for one's spiritual life. So, this ceremony is called Vyasa Puja. I am representing my spiritual master and the whole disciplic succession. Incidentally, the Vyasa Puja should be celebrated on the appearance day of the spiritual master, not on Guru Purnima, as the Mayavadis do. Prabhupada actually talked about that. Just like Guru Purnima, what they do is Guru Purnima, they think they should celebrate every spiritual master on the same day, which is wrong. Prabhupada says Mayavadi, because that means every guru is one. I mean, we're one in purpose, one in serving in disciplic succession, one in representing Shri Krishna and in ISKCON Srila Prabhupada, but there's also variety. It's like one sense you can say every type of food on your plate is food, right? It's one. But at the same time, if I mix it all together, it's not so appealing. Of course, some Vaishnavas do that so they don't get into satisfying the tongue. But still, you want to have variety. So there's variety. So we don't celebrate this Guru Purnima as the Vyasa Puja of the spiritual master. We celebrate it because it's not going to go Swami's Vyasa Puja. And the same way you have this Pitapaksha ceremony, in which you're supposed to be doing something for your ancestors, and all ancestors have gotten during those 2 weeks, that's my bloody stuff too. Because the way you commemorate the disappearance or the passing away of one of your ancestors is the shrug ceremony. Shrug ceremony means on the anniversary of the departure of your glorious ancestor, and then you offer food to Krishna, becomes prasad, you can offer some to your ancestor, please don't offer cigarettes, kava, alcohol, like they do in Fiji, you know, you even have to light the cigarette before it offers you, because he forgot to bring matches with him. Of course, probably where he's gone, he doesn't need matches. he can light a cigarette, you know, automatically just by holding it in the air, you know. So, unless he's Christian conscious, of course. Then it's not a problem. So anyway, but that's Maya body too, because we should be doing it on a certain day for that particular individual. So we're glorifying a particular individual and glorifying their connection with Krishna. And it's very personalistic. Devotional service is very much a personalistic type of activity. It's not impersonalism. We're not all one. We have certain personalities and certain relationships. And ultimately, we have loving relationships with Krishna and all the devotees, and that's what will get us back to home, back to God. So, without further ado, we can go to the next portion of the ceremony. All glories to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. Very well.
Ki jai.